Hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everybody is having an absolutely wonderful day today. We actually have some nice weather today. We were in the low 40s when I got up this morning, 41 to be exact, early this morning, which is quite cold for Florida, but it's supposed to be back in the 50s this afternoon, and I think in the 70s or 80s by the end of the week. So it doesn't last long around here in Florida, but other than that, beautiful day regardless. And how are you doing today, Deb?
Awesome. Absolutely blessed. I mean, it's an incredible day. I was on with Jeff Rentsch last night. We had a great show and really enjoyed talking to him last night. And I got great news last night right before the show with Rentsch that the Gottlieb had resigned and has gone and has finished. He's got like 30 days left before his tenure for the Food and Drug Administration is gone. And I want to share with you guys why this happens. Let me explain something to you. There's a tipping point that's occurring here in the United States, and that's what this is. And these groups of people that run the planet, they don't like to be exposed. They're like, they think we're like leprous rats. We think they're like cockroaches that run under the refrigerator at night when you turn the lights on, if you don't make sure you have some type of, you know, boric acid or something to keep them out of your house here in Florida. And so here we've got, so they see us as leprous rats. We see them as cockroaches, and what they do is when you walk into the light, when you flip the lights on them, just remember Jesus said they don't like the light, they like the darkness. And what happens is these things don't want to be around, they run away. And so with Gottlieb, what's happened is this show and many other shows have really heavily criticized him about his stance, you know, trying to force vaccinations, trying to take away vape cigarettes from kids because they're trying to get more kids addicted. He even wanted to meet with the people from a major, you know, grocery, pharmaceutical corporation to meet with them, demanded they meet with him because of the cigarettes. I mean, this guy's gone. He went into a complete and total crazed power trip, including wanting to do mandatory forced vaccines on everybody in the United States. Of course, this is what we expected him to do, being from GlaxoSmithKline. And what happens is this tipping point, here's how they determine it. They do it based on algorithms. It's like that's how the stock market is actually manipulated. It's based on stock market algorithms. And what they do is they actually monitor internet traffic. You know, the NSA has been doing this and copying our internet, everything. They copy everything we do, including phone calls. And what they do, they get aggregate numbers. You know, so all of a sudden you keep hearing Gottlieb, 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 Gottlieb's a pig, Gottlieb's a pig, Gottlieb's a pig. You know, Gottlieb's awful, Gottlieb's awful. And so what happens is the aggregate people in the United States start to wake up, and it gets near the tipping point. Stay with me. This is fixing to get good. And what ends up happening, as soon as it gets near that tipping point, they've got to do something. Gottlieb resigns, okay, because they don't want the tipping point to occur. They can put somebody in as bad or equally as bad as Gottlieb was. It doesn't make any difference because the momentum has to start all over again. Because at that point in time, nobody's going to be talking about it. And then, but little bit, it gradually grows until Gottlieb resigns. This is what's happened. I can't use any names here. I'll be very careful with what I say. There are people who are in alt news, in the truth movement, who don't tell the truth. They're bought and paid for by the Zionists. They're bought and paid for by the people who run the planet. They actually, some of them admit to having levels with meetings with the Mossad. And what ends up happening is these people are used as a mouthpiece, and they may give 70-80% truth out and 20-30% lies out. But what it does, it allows the narrative to be controlled in both directions, because the truth that's being used and the lies that are being used, if the people that are following them have swallowed the Kool-Aid, they're going to believe all of it. Now, what ends up happening is when enough other alternative news people come out and say, this news group, this news branch is lying to you, they're not telling you the truth, the same thing occurs. You get a tipping point. And more people start saying, this guy's a shill, this guy's not telling the truth, this guy's COINTELPRO, this girl's a shill, this girl's not telling the truth, this girl's COINTELPRO. And what happens is that person, that group, whoever they may be, starts to lose their effectiveness as far as propaganda communication. Told you this is going to get good. This is why some major players have been deplatformed. It's not because they didn't have a big audience. It's because their audience was turning on them, and their audience was waking up, and their audience was starting to say, this person is not who he says he is, or not who she says she is, and so they basically get snatched and pulled down. Okay, always think about this, and please listen to me for a second. If you're listening to somebody, and they're not talking about the third temple, if they're not talking about the groups of people that run the world that are Luciferians, if they're not talking about the Rothschild banking cartel and the international, basically, the houses of Rothschild that control the Bank of International Settlements and the World Bank, if they're not talking about these topics, and they're not talking about the fact that these guys are hardcore Zionists, and they're not mentioning to you and talking to you about Samuel Untermeyer or what happened with in 1913 with the Federal Reserve Bank, and what's happening with Benjamin Netanyahu, or that Jared Kushner could be a potential antichrist that could be brought into the temple. If they're not discussing these types of things for you, or the adverse influence that AIPAC has on Congress, or the fact that, you know, we have these dual Israeli citizenships in Congress and in the Senate that are directly affecting change in the United States, not for our good. These people are disloyal. Their primary country is Israel, and it's not the United States. Their primary loyalty is to Israel. If you have, and you're talking, and you're listening to people that aren't discussing these topics, years ago, I think we've been on this Global Star for almost 5 years now, 4.5 years. I remember years ago, we ended up getting contacted by another, how should I say, I'm trying not to use names, guys. We were contacted by another large radio broadcaster, and all of a sudden, you know, they wanted me on before we started this show. They wanted to run my shows for free. They wanted to do all this stuff for me. And suddenly, they started doing research on who I was and what I said and what I did. And suddenly, it was like, it was going to be, huge money, just to run the show. Plus, they were going to run advertising on my show on nutritional supplements from other companies that I don't approve of, that are junk. I mean, some of these products have lead in them, and I didn't want them on my show. And I said, no, I'm not going to do it. And then you find out this organization is a Zionist-run organization later, and you realize that, hey, you dodged a bullet because the Holy Spirit led you not to do this. Guys, you find out who runs the planet when you find out who you can't talk about. I'm going to repeat that. Yep. When you find out who you can't talk about, you find out who's running the planet. And guys, this group of people is trying to put international banking cartels and international central banks in every country in the world. They've got a few holdouts, like, you know, Venezuela, you know, like Syria, you know, like, you know, Iran, you know, they had a bunch more of them in the Middle East, and they all fell. And I'll never forget Tom Brokaw one time after 9/11. This is, you know, the alcoholic Tom Brokaw. He basically said, when he was still sober, he said, well, for the first time in the history of Iraq, the Iraq's independent central bank has been replaced, government control central bank has been replaced by independent central bank, which means the Rothschilds. And I thought, well, there we go. They just told us what they were doing, what they're going to do, and now they're going to bring in some other guy, some other Zionist boy, some other Goldman Sachs boy, to come in and control the central banks in Iraq. And then we knew for them, at that point on, what the real reason was. Same thing happened with Chavez. Same thing happened with Rodriguez. Venezuela's in a mess. The same thing happened, you know, with Syria. The same thing's happening now all over the Middle East. And why is this happening? Because it's part of the Greater Israel program and the overthrow of these Arab countries. And, you know, and yesterday I was listening to a show from Richie from Boston, and he was criticizing the Palestinian Arab conflict from a Arab, was the victim can't standpoint. And he said something that was a really good analogy. He goes, look, like, let's say you got acreage or you got land. I'm paraphrasing what he said. Let's say everybody's got a 100-acre block, and you got fences up. And your neighbor decides he doesn't want you to have 100 acres. He wants part of your acreage. And he gradually, every time you go over there, he's moved your fence over another 20 feet, another 100 feet, another 200 feet. And pretty soon you start fussing at him about, why are you taking my land? Why are you moving my fences? Why are you making your place bigger without coming to me and buying my property? Why are you taking my land? And then they show up with tanks and machine guns, and they say, now we're taking everything. This is what the Israelis have done to the Palestinians. He said Israel gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Palestine gets smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. And when they don't like it, when they don't embrace it, then what ends up happening is they say, oh, you guys are awful. You guys are terrorists. See, you never hear me talk like that. When you understand what happened in Palestine, years ago I was on a cruise ship. I forgot where I was. I think it was the Western Mediterranean. And there was a guy there, and he was a British officer, and he was involved with the taking over of Palestine and the running out off of the Palestinians, 1947, 1948. And I tried to get him to talk to me about it, and he literally teared up, started crying. And he says, I can't. He says, what we did to the Palestinians as England was so uncalled for, so horrible, that I can't discuss it. And then he shows up at one of the formal nights. He's wearing his dress mess from the military, still fit in his uniform, sharp officer, I must admit. And he told me, he says, I told you. He says, I was a British officer. Here's my uniform. He goes, I can't express to you the remorse and the regret that I have for the Palestinians that we mowed down with machine guns and the little children that we killed for this Israel program. He goes, I cannot believe this has happened in the United States, in England. Guys, this is what you have to understand. I mean, when somebody owns a country for thousands and thousands of years. Now, if the Palestinians, if the Rothschilds would come in, I'm just going to be straight with you guys. The Rothschilds would come in and they'd said, we want to buy this Palestinian land, and we're going to offer you billions of dollars for it. We're going to make you guys unbelievably wealthy. We're going to set you up at another place. We're going to build everything for you over here. We're asking you to do this for us, and just name a price and we'll do it. The Palestinians probably would have said, okay, you know, we'll do that. I mean, for that kind of money, why not? If you got a piece of property that's worth $20,000, you're going to give me $20 million for it. Okay, we're good. I'm out. Okay? But the problem is they didn't do it that way. They came in and they took it by force. And they just basically subdued this country by force, by racism, and by just terror is what they did. And for no reason, because of the Balfour Declaration and because of what happened, you know, with the fall of the Ottoman Empire. And guys, we've talked about this so many times. So when Richie from Boston said that yesterday, I thought, we're finally reaching a tipping point in all the lies of, he's an anti-Semite. They're all coming to a screeching halt. 90% of the Jews aren't involved in any of this crap. These are the high-level Rothschilds, the Sabbatean Kabbalists, the Luciferians, the Shabbatists, the ones who study Kabbalah, the ones who worship Lucifer in their little spare time in the back room. These are those guys. These are the guys that are like, you know, Hillary Clinton goes, you know, I need to go up to the attic and get out my rabbit's foot or go sacrifice a chicken to Moloch. I mean, who talks like that? Sacrifice a chicken to Moloch? I mean, what the heck, man? And that's what these guys are. And they reared their ugly heads. And we saw the inside workings of these guys when we got the Podesta emails before the Trump election. I mean, soul cooking, spirit cooking. I mean, are you kidding me? Drinking menstrual blood. I mean, these guys are a bunch of sickos. This is what they do. These guys are all perverted. But remember, the same group runs both sides. Always remember that. This is obfuscation. All of this smoke and mirrors, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. They're using algorithms to determine how far they let it go so they don't reach the tipping point. Because what happens with a tipping point? When you get to a tipping point, you have a revolution. We had a tipping point in the Vietnam War. They don't want that to happen again. We had millions of people marching on Washington, D.C. People being shot at Kent, students being shot at Kent State. I mean, riots everywhere. I mean, it was unbelievable what happened in the 60s. You guys who aren't old enough to remember that, I was there. I remember what happened. I mean, you couldn't believe what the next day was going to hold for the newspaper. Well, they don't want that again because they don't want to spark a counterculture revolution saying, we don't want this anymore. We don't want to listen to you anymore. We don't want the lies anymore. They want that subtle, low-key push from the bottom. See, they know that Cortez is an idiot. They know she's an actress, but they're pushing her narrative. Why? Because there's still 90 people in the House of Representatives that are supporting her bill for the green agenda. Think about that for a second. And then now, in a few years, it'll be 100, 120, 130, 140, whatever. And they're gradually pushing this narrative of socialism, communism, combined with fascism, on the American population, and they're slowly indoctrinating the young people in our schools and our colleges, which are fascist, socialist indoctrination centers, to believe these narratives. They're bringing in our children and they're in theta brainwave states. They're 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, teaching them that Johnny has two mommies, or Susie has two mommies, and Johnny has two daddies, because they're pushing the gay agenda on them. And they're changing the narrative from the children. They're doing a Hitler Youth thing in reverse, bringing them to the state of basically debauchery and filth and perversion in their lives. And this is what's going on. So when you see something like Gottlieb resigns, you have to understand why Gottlieb resigned. Gottlieb basically said he wanted to spend more time with his family, which means Gottlieb got his butt canned, because what happened is he was basically found out to be who he was and what he was, and it was reaching a tipping point with people coming against him. And see, do you remember what this group wants? If you look at the Daily Mail, they've got an article here. I posted it on the Health Masters website. It says, "Rape Day, computer game, where players sexually assault and murder women amidst scenes of necrophilia and incest sparks outrage." So finally, a game player has pushed the tipping point on something that they don't think we should see yet, though this is where they want us to go. Developer claims the game is aimed at a 4% of sociopaths in the population. Yeah, there's a great target market. It lets players control a menacing serial killer rapist during a zombie apocalypse. Gaming platforms Steam reviewing game to see if it breaches its code of conduct. But Steam has an anything-goes policy and bans illegal or trolling content. I mean, this game that lets players rape and kill women has progressed through a story of violence, sexual assault, necrophilia, and incest. Is going to be released this month. I mean, where does it stop, guys? And remember, if you go back to this, guys, you're going to find a group of people out in Hollywood and writers that have an atavistic hatred of Jesus Christ. I've talked to you guys about it for years. They hate Christ. They hate Christians. They hate any of this. And we, the diseased, leprous rats that hang out in the barn behind us that they can't seem to exterminate, they're going to do everything they can to destroy our minds, our hearts, our souls, our spirits, by putting this stuff out on the market and letting little children deal with this stuff and put this into their brains. So that's why Gottlieb got kicked out, because Gottlieb reached a tipping point because of shows like this and other shows, because I'm not alone in this, that have called him out for the lying scumbucket sack of methane gas that he is. So praise God that guy has gone off, and let us only hope that we don't get somebody even worse than Gottlieb in the FDA, son. What do you think?
Oh, I fully agree. I mean, quite frankly, I don't know how much worse it can get than Gottlieb as far as the head of GlaxoSmithKline and then running the FDA. The issue is there was a lot of flack that occurred on the alternative media and the truth news when everybody started reporting, including ourselves, right after he said that last week, coming out and saying that forced federal mandated vaccinations are essentially going to need to be put into place because too many people aren't getting vaccinated enough. That's a strong statement to make, because here's the issue that I have with all of this. When you start going in and you start allowing vaccine manufacturers to have carte blanche immunity, which we did in 1986 with the Vaccine Manufacturers Act. So you go in and say, you have carte blanche immunity. It doesn't matter what you make. It doesn't matter what you put in a vaccination. Not only are we going to mandate it via the CDC on what we recommend for the shots, you're guaranteed billions of dollars in profit. Guaranteed. It's on the CDC mandate list. It's on the roster. You're going to get billions of dollars. And then, if anything happens, including death, paralysis, cognitive disorders, allergies, doesn't matter what it is, you have full immunity. You can't be sued. Right. You can't be held liable. You can't go to prison. We'll handle it in a vaccine court where we'll allow the citizens, the peasants, we'll allow the peasants to come to court, make their case about how their child had an excruciating death. We'll make them hung up in court for 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years. And then at the end of that, we'll pay them out a couple $100,000, $1 million, whatever it is, via taxpayer money. It won't even come out of your profits. We'll pay it via the taxpayer funding to the peasants. So we'll make the peasants pay for the other peasants. And you guys are sick. You guys will make billions of dollars. You'll have nothing to worry about. And And then now we're going to take it a step further. We're going to put Gottlieb in as the head of the FDA, and he's going to start his rhetoric and saying, listen, this is unacceptable. People are not getting their shots like we demand the peasants to get. So now we need to come down with a federal act with the full force of the law to mandate by law that every single child has to have these toxic vaccinations thrusted upon them. So not only will they make more billions of dollars from these vaccines because they're going to be fully mandated with no exemption form, and then we're going to have literally the rate of side effects, including autism, deaths, seizures, everything, is going to probably go into the exponential factor because of all these kids that are going to be newly vaccinated. We're going to make the peasants pay more money in the vaccine court, and the vaccine companies are still going to have no liability. If that concept, if you can actually get that concept through your head and it makes any sense to you, I don't know what else to say. I cannot even fathom that level of tyranny, that level of just almost debauchery. I mean, the idea of what they do with it. I mean, and then you want to just the icing on the cake, and this is the part that I just love, the part that really just makes my skin crawl. On these mandated vaccinations, by the way, we're taking aborted children that you're funding via Planned Parenthood with their $500 million a year. We're taking those aborted children that we killed. We're taking their organs, and we're using those organs and those cells to make the vaccines that we're mandating your children have to be shot back up with. My God, does it get any sicker than this? Does it get any sicker than this? And then people look at you with this blank stare when you question vaccines. They go, oh, you can't question vaccines. You can't question vaccines. It's for the good of the population. You have to get vaccinated now. You can't question that. You can't put a billboard up that says, what's in my vaccine? You can't do that. You can't ask a question on Twitter or Pinterest or Facebook or Instagram, what's in my vaccine? That's forbidden. You can't do that because it goes against the narrative. Ironically enough, I saw an article that came out a couple weeks ago that just finally got surfaced because it literally got blackballed. Last month, you guys know the measles hysteria came to a head as every single mainstream media outlet across the country ran with stories pumping fear about this non-existent epidemic of measles, which is not usually lethal, and as measles have been around for a long time, 150 people out of a population of 330 million get measles, and they act like this is just this epidemic. Well, you go on here, and there's one headline, however, that was the opposite of these and went entirely under the radar. Here's the title. Vaccines given in Kentucky, Ohio, and Indiana are causing infections. It was one headline that was suppressed to the deepest, darkest depths of the search engine algorithm. Last month, the health department in Kentucky found out that the vaccination for the flu, vaccination for the whooping cough, and vaccination for hepatitis A not only weren't working, but they were contaminated. As WKRC points out, the company Location Vaccination started providing vaccinations for businesses in Kentucky, Ohio, and Indiana starting in last September. Some people started noticing swelling and lumps at the injection site. The doctor said that's perfectly normal. It's perfectly normal. We injected this compound into you that we don't even know what's in it. We know what's on the label's unbelievably toxic. It swells up. You get a fever. It starts itching. You got pain at the injection site. That's okay. That's totally normal. After multiple people across three states began complaining of infections in the injection site, the health department stepped in and realized the vaccines were contaminated. They said that they were improperly stored, which led to the contamination, which if you guys have ever heard, that's always the excuse they've used when there's any type of side effect with a vaccine, or they can finally have to come forward and say it's contaminated. They say it was stored improperly. We left it out on the counter for 30 minutes and it didn't go in the refrigerator. That's what happened. That's all that happened, which, I mean, as you can understand, is complete and total horse poo. The health department is now warning people in those three states who have received those vaccines to be on the lookout for infections, as symptoms can show up 3 months after getting the shot. that was ironic enough is now the health department in those states is now urging all of those who are vaccinated by this company that they may have been infected with contaminant vaccinations, but now they need to turn around and get another shot of vaccinations that are not contaminated because the first contaminated vaccinations probably aren't going to work as the vaccine is inert and it didn't work to help them basically stay against the vaccination. So the ideology behind this concept boggles my mind. Nonetheless, currently across the country, there are over 100 bills filed in 30 different states proposing to expand, restrict, or eliminate vaccine-informed consent rights. Senator Richard Pan, Democrat out of Sacramento, who has sponsored many of the mandatory vaccine laws, in a letter to the Attorney General of the United States, he wrote, and I quote, "The deliberate spread of vaccine information discouraging vaccines requires the Surgeon General to stop this attack on our nation's health by addressing the spread of vaccine information." They don't know what to do because the more people wake up, the more they are realizing what a debacle this is and how much we've been lied to about these vaccines. And the anti-vaccine media is coming out now and producing fact after fact after fact after fact after fact, but yet they turn around and say, you can't talk about that, we have to censor it. The issue that they're running in now to is that there's so many companies now that are starting to have the reverse effect. We're seeing now that Facebook is actually having a negative effect on blocking anti-vaccination media. They're having people coming in now and saying, why can't we talk about this? Why can't this topic get brought up? If we had an automotive manufacturer, say we had Kia, and Kia got carte blanche immunity to make cars, didn't matter if they blew up on the drivers, didn't matter if the brakes locked up, didn't matter if they flipped for no reason at all, they got carte blanche immunity at Kia Motorsports. I'm not saying this is theoretical, Kia's whatever vehicle, I don't have a problem with them, but say they did that, and say they said, doesn't matter what you brought Kia vehicles in, it doesn't matter how many people died in these Kia cars, you can't sue Kia, Kia cannot be held liable for anything that happens whatsoever. And then they turn around and said, oh, and by the way, you can't talk about Kia vehicles blowing up. You can't talk about the airbags deploying. You can't talk about that. Well, why can't we talk about it? They're blowing up left and right. People are dying. People are having to go to court with the DOT and get paid to reimburse for their dead family members that are dying in Kia vehicles. But we can't talk about Kia vehicles doing this. Nope, can't talk about it. It's forbidden. Can't talk about social media. Can't talk about Kia vehicle deaths. Nothing. And then you have the FDA turn around and say, or the DOT come around and say, hey, by the way, we're mandating that you have to drive a Kia vehicle. So we're mandating you have to drive a vehicle that we know there's a high chance it's going to blow up and kill you, but you can't talk about the fact that the vehicle's going to blow up and kill you, and the vehicle manufacturer can't be held liable for any reason whatsoever that you died in the vehicle that we mandated you had to drive, that we mandated you couldn't talk about the dangerous effects of driving the vehicle. That puts it in perspective how twisted and perverted this entire topic is with vaccines, yet the media has been complicit in pushing this propaganda for decades now and literally changing the entire landscape, the entire fabric of the thought process of the American population, that a large percentage of them sit there, bob their head up and down and say, yes, my child needs 8 more vaccinations. Yes, you are right. Yes, it doesn't matter what's in them. Yes, please shoot my child up with this. That's what they've done. But now we're actually starting to have an awakening of consciousness, if you want to put it that way, where people are saying, we need to ask questions. We need the truth. And that was, I completely went off sideways with this. I wasn't planning on talking about this morning, Dad, but when I start seeing this stuff and I start seeing them mandate it, and then you compare it to a vehicle manufacturer like that, and you can imagine the uproar if we saw something like that occur in the automotive industry, yet when you have the vaccine industry, they're completely no touch, can't touch them at all, completely off topic by the mainstream media.
Gutley went too far. He basically, what he did, he basically, it's what I said earlier in the show. He ruined his propaganda effectiveness. He went too far. When he said he wanted to manually, basically force, like, he didn't say these exact words, but he was going to force the federal government to pass mandatory legislation for vaccines even to adults. People saw people coming into their houses. We talked about it last week. I said, how far is it going to go before you pull a gun on somebody coming into your house with a big needle in their hand saying, we're going to vaccinate every one of you, my response is going to be, excuse my language, piss on you. You're not going to vaccinate me or my family. It's not happening, not here, not now. And you know, and they're going to go, whoa. See, and everybody woke up when he said that. When he said everybody, adult, child, everybody, mandatory federal government vaccine laws coming to your home, coming to see you, going to hold you down, strap you to a gurney. And, you know, he didn't say all of this, but that's what he implied. Because right now, I mean, it's like now with the IRS. I mean, I pay my tax. I probably pay more than I'm supposed to pay. But the reality is if you don't take and pay your taxes, they come and take your stuff. They put a gun to your head, number one, and they say, we're going to take your money. Whether you want to pay it or not, we're going to force you to do it. And when you're going to do it, you're going to do it willingly, and we're going to take your money, and we're going to give it to Planned Parenthood. And we're going to give it to every horrible cause that we want to give it to because, my God, we're God, and you're the bootlicker. This is tyranny. This is why this federal income tax was never put into the Constitution. You can't allow it to happen. It was through tariffs the federal government was supposed to be paid, you know, and that kind of stuff. But this is ridiculous that they're allowed to do this, and they come in and do all of these things to us, and we sit here. Why? Because it's been a gradual change. Gottlieb pushed the narrative. He pushed the narrative. This is why I said some of the largest so-called alt media people have been deplatformed. Because why? They lost their effectiveness, and there were more people saying that these individuals were COINTELPRO and basically closet Zionists, that they were no longer being effective to persuade the mainstream people. Some of these people even come back now. Some of these people have said this stuff, that their listeners are paranoid schizophrenics. Are you kidding? I'm not, guys, I don't make this crap up. Here's what I consider you guys to be. I consider every one of you to be children of the Most High God, all of you. I pray for you every day. I ask God to bless you, to keep you, to allow his face to shine upon him, upon you, to allow his grace to be on you, to grant you peace, mercy, grace, peace, prosperity. I station angels around you. I plead the blood of Christ over you. I put a hedge of thorns around you. I appreciate you. I appreciate each and every one of you right now that are listening to the show. I thank you for supporting Health Masters. I thank you for supporting us. I thank you for listening. That's how I feel about my listeners. But when you come out and say that your listeners are paranoid, delusional, schizophrenics, are you kidding me? On a national platform, you say this? What the heck? Why does anybody support these people? And see, they lost their effectiveness. Now their true nature is coming out and who they really are and how they really believe who their listeners are. Guys, no. That's no good. See, hit the message of this thing with the whole thing with the vaccines, Austin, and with the whole thing with Big Pharma in general is this. Hey, America. Take your vaccines. Eat anything you want because we're here for you. It doesn't matter what happens to you. Indulge. Yeah. Indulge yourself. Get your dopamine triggers. Do it with your cell phones. Do it with your sugar. Do it with your pastries. Do it with your canola oil. Do it with your hydrogenated oils. Do it with your high fructose corn syrup. Do it with your aspartame. Don't worry about it. There's not a problem here because, hey, we've got a pill. We've got a drug. We've got a procedure that we will give you by what we caused and by what you allowed us to do to you that will maybe fix you, but it may drag you through a ditch. You may have to do chemotherapy. Yeah, and you might die, and your face may rot off. Yeah, that might happen, but don't worry. Those surgeries that we do, they're not a big deal. They're routine. That's the word we like to use. We're going to take your face, and we're going to disassemble it, and we're going to give you a new jaw, we're going to give you new teeth, or we're going to give you this or that. It's routine. Crack you open like a lobster, replace your coronary arteries, graft new ones in. Hey, it's routine. It's no big deal. Just relax. You're in good hands. Well, can I get a list of people that you've done this to that basically had good results? No. You don't need that. You don't need that. We can't do that. The HIPAA laws say we can't give you any kind of testimony letters. Trust me. I'm going to do everything I possibly can. This is a routine surgery. We're going to crack you open. We're going to put these new arteries in. You're going to be good as new. And you go, wow, it's so easy. It's just routine. Told my aunt that, Audrey. It's routine. Dead. Told Marla Maddox that. It's routine. Dead. Told Sharon's good friend Jan that. Suffering for years now. It was routine. It's okay. I can list you people after people. It's routine. Told my ex-father-in-law, Warren. They didn't bother telling that up to 40% of the people who have cardiac bypass surgery end up with a stroke. and they can never return. And over like 80% can never return back to a, up to 80% can never return back to a normal life. It's routine. Don't worry about it. Your insurance will cover it. Sure, it's $250,000, but you know, you're not supposed to know that I've got four ex-wives and they all drive Mercedes, and I've got to pay them all $20,000 a month because they're getting a part of my income, and I got a house payment I got to make, and God, I got to have a new swimming pool. The pool I have is not big enough. I got to put an Olympic pool in, and you've got to help me with that pool. You've got to let me crack you open like a lobster and basically give you bypass surgery. And oh, by the way, you probably got cancer too while you're here, so we need to start you on the chemotherapy while we're at it. So don't worry, it's routine, and you're in good hands. They say, well, gosh, Ted, they're not all that bad. No, they're not. No, they're not. But too many times, doctors come out and are busted because they're intentionally doing disease treatment, heart disease, bypass surgery, cancer treatment with people who don't have heart disease, who don't have cancer. You read about it over and over and over again. Why? Because of what I told you. We've got cash flow problems, don't you understand? These routine surgeries are easy to do. No, they're easy for money in the bank. Click, 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 click. Guys, think through what you're doing. This is why I say to you, I'm not telling you not to have surgery. I'm not telling you that. But what I'm saying to you is this. Get multiple opinions. Get four, get five, get ten, and don't tell the first doctor what the second doctor or the third doctor or the next doctor says. Have them all give you a prognosis, which, by the way, is an educated guess, if you look up the definition. Get a prognosis, an educated guess from all these doctors. You do your own research and figure out what you think you need to do. Because, guys, you can always do what they want. And when they say, you got to do it now, you got to do it now. I remember I had a friend of mine who came to my office one time, pastor. And he worked for a large corporation up in Ocala, which is now defunct. And the guy was great. His name was Billy. And I don't know if he's still alive or not. And he said he went to the hospital. He said he had a little chest pain. He said he was feeling great, but he had a little bit of chest pain. He went to the doctor's office, and then the doctor put him on a cardiac, you know, on a treadmill. And, of course, he was out of shape and had him running, and his heart started beating too hard. And he medevaced him via helicopter from the doctor's office to the hospital there in Gainesville and did an immediate five-way bypass on him. He's like 35 years old. And he comes into my office and he goes, what the heck, man? What just happened? And I said, you got caught up into the medical complex. He said, this is the problem when you sign away your life and you tell them to do whatever they need to do and they just do what they want to do. And I said, sometimes you get good doctors, sometimes you get bad doctors. Like, sometimes you get a good attorney, sometimes you get a really crappy attorney. Sometimes you get a nice cop, sometimes you get a bad cop. Guys, it doesn't matter what profession they're in. There are different levels of competency in every profession. And so this guy couldn't believe it. Here he's in his 30s, you know, five-way bypass, almost killed him. I mean, and he said, I don't know why they did this to him. They didn't tell me to change my diet. They didn't give me a choice. This is what they did. Guys, this happens all the time. Because it's basically, you know, I had a former employer used to work for me. Went to the hospital, have chest pains. And he said they got him stabilized. And I told him, I said, you know, dude, I said, you know, you can – I know another physician here in town who does chelation therapy. You can change your diet. This guy literally ate a bologna sandwich every morning for breakfast and for lunch. I mean, horrible diet. And I said, change your diet, change your diet, change your diet. If you don't change your diet, I said, these arteries that they're grafting in will fail again within 3 to 5 years. But he had to have the surgery. And then a couple of years later, he was dead again from another heart attack. Guys, it happens over and over and over again. Lifestyle changes are so important. Now, remember, you didn't hear me say diet. Dieting's the pits. Okay, diet, you know, D-I-E-T, diet. Don't do that. Don't diet. That's why on our Eat Clean and Be Healthy book that Sharon has on the website, my wife wrote it, it teaches you how to eat really clean foods and how to stay super healthy with a lot of energy without having to take drugs. It's so important that you understand that diets have to be broken. Lifestyles don't. Every once in a while you can go out and eat a steak or whatever, but don't eat pork. Don't eat pork. Don't eat pork. You know, the Torah is right about that. I mean, the Torah in the five first books of Levitical Law taught out of it for years and years and years. That's the word of God given to Moses. It's dead on. It tells you not to eat pork, and it says these diseases are going to come upon you if you eat this stuff. He's not joking about that. I mean, his word's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I've taught from the Torah for many, many, many years. And I love the Torah. I love the Old Testament. I love the Pentateuch, the five first books of Levitical Law, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. It's a great, great teaching tool as far as how to live a healthy life, a happy life, a prosperous life. All of those things are in there. And guys, it's so important that we understand that if you're willing to spend $100 on a pair of shoes, or a meal you go out to eat with your family, $50, $60, or $100, wherever, if you go to a fancy restaurant, maybe more, think about your lifestyle. Think about what you could do as far as what supplements you could take. Now, I'm going to say one other thing, too. Supplements are extremely important, but they don't take the place of a good diet. You can't just eat crap all the time and take your vitamins and think you're doing okay. Now, it'll be better than not taking your vitamins. That's a fact, okay? But you got to cut out the trans fats, the hydrogenated oils, the aspartame. You've got to cut out the high fructose corn syrup, the sugar, the junk food, the Twinkies, the ding-dongs, the cupcakes, the alcohol, the shellfish, the soy products, the chlorinated, fluorinated water. You got to cut out coffee, except every once in a while you have coffee. It's not a big deal. Use the green tea extract or purple sticks instead. It's a lot better for you. I've had my green tea this morning. I feel great. I mean, but avoid these foods. Avoid these food groups, and don't eat pork. Gosh. Guys, look at the Biological Therapy, Volume 1, Number 2, 1983, by Professor Hans Reckwig. It's called The Adverse Influence of Pork Consumption on Health. And he lists like 50 or 60 diseases that are transmitted from pigs into humans. It's a bad product. Pork in general just needs to be avoided. Okay, I'm babbling now, Austin. What's your next story, buddy? What do you think?
Oh, no, that's good info. I mean, that's what we talk about all the time on there. So, I mean, it's something, and that's what we put so much different stuff on our website, guys, at Health Masters. We have different articles on there all the time. We're constantly posting new articles. We're putting all the articles from the show notes up that you can click on there. You can go to the top of the page where it says recent articles and click different articles that we've posted, that we've actually either written and latest articles, or you can go down to the daily news articles and look at this stuff. You can go down to the videos that we have posted. There's a lot of different stuff. I mean, we even have the Maximum Health 6 DVD series that we have on sale right now on the website as well. And that's a 6 DVD series for people that still like DVDs, like myself. A lot of people just stream stuff now. But the problem with all this stuff is, guys, and I found this out, everything, when you base it off the internet, and that's not always around, power's not that hard to acquire. We're pretty used to that down here in Florida. You can have a small generator, you can have a large generator, you can have solar panels. There's a lot of different options you can have to produce a pretty substantial amount of power cost effectively when nothing else is working. Internet's a different story. If the internet goes down, the internet goes down. There is no internet to pick back up once it goes down, until you actually get the companies out there in your area to get the internet situated if there's an outage. And even if there is internet, if there's not main power systems, you're not going to have internet still. So that's something you have to understand. So that's why we still have that 6 DVD series that we still sell a lot of, because it's a really, really good informative approach on different things that we talk about all the time on this show with health, but it's all about health, all about nutrition. This show, we try to do everything, because we want to bring you the health news, but we also want to bring you the different topics that are going on a daily basis, because they all intertwine, especially with these daily topics. A health news that I saw earlier yesterday, which I thought was really interesting, we're constantly trying to talk on a regular basis about aluminum exposure, preventing as much aluminum from getting in your body by not drinking out of aluminum cans, not using aluminum cookware, not using aluminum deodorant. We've found that the magnesium brain food is incredibly good at chelating magnesium out of the body. Well, now a new study has come out now that was actually demonstrating
getting aluminum out of the brain also, not magnesium.
Getting aluminum out of the brain. I apologize. Getting aluminum out of the brain via the magnesium. Well, there's a new study now that they demonstrated that obviously we've talked about before, shows a connection between aluminum and Alzheimer's disease in humans. The animal studies have shown that the nervous system is a prime target for aluminum toxicity. We've talked about this for years, but studies have shown it over and over and over again. Professor Chris Exley of Keeley University has been working on the metals relationship with Alzheimer's disease. In late December, him and his colleagues published a research study that confirmed the toxic relationship of aluminum in the brain and discovered the high amounts of aluminum were present in the brains of people diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. Well, now new research led by his team has shown that there's also maybe a way to inhibit the ill effects of aluminum. His colleagues have been investigating the effectiveness of silicon with water and might having has an effect against the toxic effects of aluminum. In one case, the silicon helped to reduce aluminum levels by 70% over the course of a 12-week study. The soluble form of silicon called silicic acid that was put in water was used for the study actually was binding to the aluminum, which we actually have this product in our regeneration formula. That's one of the things that we have, and I did not know this till the other day, because we have the choline stabilized orthosilicic acid as silicon in this product. And so what he found out was in this research study with mice that using the silicon in water, when he gave it to the mice, they were actually reducing the levels of aluminum that were in their brain after 12-week studies. So this is really cool, because we've constantly tried to find ways to reduce the amount of aluminum buildup in our bodies. We've seen the magnesium brain food helps out with that. We've seen the chelation therapy helps out with that. But now a product that we've had for years that we've primarily recommended for strong hair and strong nails, our regeneration formula, has the exact amount in the nutrient silicon in the choline-stabilized orthosilicic acid to help out in this research study that he showed to remove aluminum from the brain in mice. So I just thought that was a really interesting research study when I saw yesterday, Dad, because aluminum is highly toxic to the body. We're getting exposed to it on multiple different angles. As we know, the chemtrails that we personally tested down here in Florida years ago, you can look at the study and look at the results on our website. The rainwater right after a chemtrail spray down here in Florida had a levels of aluminum beyond what we ever expected, which means they're spraying it in the air and we're breathing it into our lungs and we're getting it into our body via that mode. So different ways you can do it, Dad. What do you think about that?
I think you're absolutely right, Austin. And see, here's what happens with aluminum. I mean, people don't realize what happens with aluminum and how they're depopulating the planet with it, and they're doing it in the water supply. Because what they do is they put different agents in the water to clarify them, like they use alum, which is basically an aluminum product that they put into water at the processing plants. And then what they do is they also put fluoride in the water. Well, when you mix these two chemicals together, it massively increases the amount of poison that your body's going to absorb. In fact, let me read you this one study real quick. And you pull this up, you hear me rattling pages here. But what happened is years ago they did a rat study, and they started trying to figure out how much aluminum and how much fluoride they could take together, and they basically had to stop the study. And here's why. This news release appeared on April the 22nd, 1998, from the medical journal Brain Research, volume 784, 1998. It revealed that aluminum-induced neurodegeneration in rats is greatly enhanced when the animals were given low doses of fluoride, which is what they put in the water, and the aluminum in the water. The presence of fluoride enhanced the bioavailability of the aluminum, causing more aluminum to cross the blood-brain barrier to become deposited in the brain. The aluminum levels in the brains were twice that of the control group. And guess what? Aluminum sulfate, alum, is added to most drinking water to clarify the water that they call and then fluoridate. I mean, this is what they do. In fact, another study was done to try to determine longevity when they were doing this to the animals, to the rats, and they had to stop the study because all the rats died. They couldn't take it. They were giving the water to the rats that they gave to us, and the rats died. Guys, this is crazy that this is actually happening here in the United States. But you see, it's happened for so long now, Austin, and it's been put into our water for so long that the people just have accepted it. And see, they always, and people, that's why people are always drinking bottled water. They don't even realize that a lot of bottled water still adds fluoride and still adds aluminum to the bottled water. You know, you're not getting the other chemicals from the bottled water, supposedly. It may start off with reverse osmosis water, recycled sewage water, some of them use. But, you know, you need to make your own water. That's why we have a distillation system available. It's Health Masters. We have one that's a countertop model, which is a few hundred, I think $300 or $400. Then we've got a whole house system. And it's not a whole house system. That's what it's called, but it's not that. It doesn't do all the plumbing. It does water to your refrigerator that it pumps via demand pump. It does it to a separate faucet, a stainless steel faucet at your sink via gooseneck faucet. So I've got this distiller in my garage. It fills itself. It makes water whenever it needs it. It's completely self-contained. You got to clean it like every 3 to 4 months and get the hard calcium out of it, which I've taken videos of that are posted on my website, on our website, to show you that. Now, what it does is it takes water, it takes it to my ice maker, it takes it to my refrigerator tap, it takes it to my gooseneck faucet. That's what we call the whole house system. That's what it does. And it pumps it to you. It fills itself. It basically empties itself. All you have to do is clean it a few times a year. That's it. That's what I have. That's what Austin has. It's a self-contained unit. Now, at the office, we've got the countertop model on the office for the employees, and we're making water throughout the day using that unit. But distilled water is a different type of water because it doesn't try to remove the – it doesn't try to take and filter the water. It takes the water and it separates it from the result, from the toxins. It uses a volatile gas set through a stainless steel condensing coil. It has to be stainless steel because if it's not stainless steel, if you have aluminum condensing coil, which a lot of the cheaper models have, it puts aluminum right back into the water. Then it drips into a stainless steel holding tank. Then it goes through food-grade tubing to your refrigerator and to your faucet if you've got the big unit. This is why we use distilled water. Now, if you're a little bit scared of distilled water, you say, well, it doesn't have anything in it. Okay, that's right, it doesn't. You can use some of our trace mineral drops. And if you've got the big tank, the 15-gallon tank, all you got to do is put like a half a cap full of those in that 15-gallon tank like once every week, and it keeps the water with a slight amount of minerals in it. And if that's what your concern is. But, guys, it's so important that you don't put the fluorine and the chlorine in your body. And when you see that fluoride massively increases aluminum absorption in the brain, and the one study was done using this type of protocol, killed the animals before they could even be tested. I mean, this is nuts. But this is what we have to understand that's going on when we drink water that is basically contaminated with these toxins. And so I've been drinking distilled water now, my gosh, since 1984. I mean, since I started realizing how important it is. And then what we also do, we take the water, we drip it back to a charcoal cartridge when it comes out of the distiller on the big tanks, and that basically really, really makes the taste. It doesn't taste metallic. It tastes kind of sweet. It's really, really good. And once you start drinking distilled water, and once you get past the fluorine and the chlorine and the chemicals and all the other junk in your water supply, you're never going to go back. You're going to go, wow, this water is really good. And it's just be careful, because if you're sweating a lot, or if you're in a sauna a lot, or you're working outside a lot, you need to be taking trace minerals with the water, because remember, distilled water is a solvent. It does a really good job of helping bring blood sugars down, helping to stabilize blood chemistry. This is one of the reasons they don't want you drinking water before you go in for a blood test, because it'll dilute the testing. It's like, for instance, if they tell you, if you wanted to do this, it's an interesting way of dropping cholesterol. If you had like a blood test to do for a health insurance or a life insurance protocol, for 1 week before you do it, if your cholesterol is high according to their standards, which probably isn't high according to my standards, then basically just go on a vegetarian diet for a week, cut all sugar out, just straight vegetables for a week, no sugar, no sweets, nothing like that, just good clean organic vegetables, and drink half your body weight in fluid ounces per day in water. And your cholesterol will drop a lot in 1 week. And they say, oh, it's not possible. It won't do that. Oh, yeah, it will. I've done it. I'm telling you, you'll drop at least 10 to 15 points in 1 week. Done it, been there, done that. Years ago, I went and had a cholesterol test or physical because I was getting life insurance. This is like 20 years ago. And my cholesterol, they said, oh, your cholesterol is high. It's at 210. You need to be on statin drugs. I'm like, oh, gosh, here we go again. And I said, what is it supposed to be? They said, 199. I said, I'll be back in a week. Oh, you can't change this. You've got to go on drugs. And I said, I'll be back in a week. Just calm down and just take a chill pill. A week or so later, or whenever I get the next appointment, I walk back in there, and sure enough, my cholesterol is like 196. Oh, how did you do this? This is impossible. And I said, no, it's just diet, guys. It's just diet. And I said, but I don't like my cholesterol being this low because I can't make proper amounts of testosterone. And as your cholesterol drops under 200, all disease rates go up, particularly cancer. So I don't like being down this low. So get the blood testing, get the insurance, and be done with it. And then I immediately got my cholesterol back up again. I like to keep my cholesterol around 220 or so, 230. But you know, now you don't need to be 300, 350, 400. That's your high too. And you don't want high triglycerides because those are those blood fats, and they kind of give you a blood sludge. You don't need all that. So stay away from the sweets. Stay away from the pastries and all that junk. And just eat really clean, and your cholesterol is going to stay really, really healthy, and so will you. Guys, thank you so much for supporting Health Masters. I really appreciate you guys. A little different kind of a show today. today. I was just kind of like in a rejoicing mode because Gottlieb is gone. It's like ding dong, the Warlock's gone. There you go, I said it. And so I'm just happy he's out of here and we're done with this clown. Let's just pray that we get somebody else who's not as aggressive or worse than Gottlieb was. Guys, I love you. I appreciate you. Thank you for the continual support. Thank you for getting our supplements. We produce the highest quality supplements I know how to make. I take them personally. My family takes them. The children take them. Everybody takes them. Staff takes them. So thank you for your support. Thank you for your prayers. I love you guys. Austin, I'll do the write-up. Go ahead and close it down.
Absolutely. Also, too, with other news, as we've seen the social credit score in China start to roll out now. This is wild. This is from Breitbart. I just thought this was interesting. The UK Guardian reported last Friday that China's social credit system designed to punish Chinese for poor citizenship has blocked travelers from buying 17.5 million airline tickets and 5.5 million train tickets just in the last year alone since it's been opened up. That's crazy. 23 million purchases of train and plane tickets have already been stopped. I mean, think about that for a second. I mean, if you compare it to the United States, I mean, you're talking like 8%, I mean, the population can buy plane or train tickets. It says the social credit system was planned over a decade ago, formally announced in 2015 and brought online last year, creating a system where literally every Chinese citizen is monitored and fed into a vast data processing system that computes citizenship scores for them. The system covers everything from crimes and misdemeanors to sitting in a reserved seat on a train or writing inappropriate posts on social media. Penalties are assessed for infractions as minor or walking a dog without a leash and jaywalking. What's ironic here, it says in the article, it says, travel privileges are always mentioned as one of the first things Chinese lose if their social credit score drops too much. Astonishment that China's social credit system is already dishing out penalties at such a vast scale, since Chinese officials previously spoke of beginning with a very limited test run in 2019 and pilot programs. It's always interesting to me when I hear people say things, you know, as far as big, large, communist, tyrannical governments, including our own sometimes, where they say travel privileges, gun privileges. First off, there's no such thing as a gun privilege or a travel privilege. It is engulfed in the Constitution that we have the right to travel freely, unmolested, on our way, without restrictions, period. No body, no foreign entity, no government entity, no tyrannical government has a right to come in and say, you don't have the ability to travel freely. Being able to travel is a privilege that we've granted you. That's why I've had such an issue with TSA, because they've almost stripped that right of traveling freely, unmolested on your way, away from us, by making sure when you go through TSA and you don't want to go through an invasive, toxic body scanner, they get to pat you down, which I always find interesting. Same thing with gun restrictions. We already know that the final aspect of what they want to do is ban all guns. They multiple times have mentioned that now. So when they come out with common sense gun laws like universal background checks, you already know where that's headed. You already know where it's going. You already know it's leading to a gun registration because they've already told us what they're going to do. So having a gun privilege is no such thing in the United States. We have the Second Amendment that guarantees the right to keep and bear arms. So just some food for thought when you hear people use the term privilege. Privilege means the government is giving you permission to engage in a certain behavior. That means they have control over whether or not you can engage in that behavior. And that, my friends, is tyranny. Thank you guys so much for joining us for the show today. Thank you so much for your support. Thank you for all your voting on the product of the week and all the other emails and content and different order comments we get all the time. Thank you for your support. We really appreciate it. We love you guys. Have a blessed, safe, awesome day. Enjoy your night. Stay safe. Stay frosty. Stay prepared for anything. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.